gentlemen, welcome back to Perth's Premier Podcast. That's what I'm going with now. Monkey Sword Fight.
Do you mean Premier?
Premier? Fuck off. Premier. With myself, Jordan Patrick, and my co-host, Mr. Michael Dotts.
Who is searching for a motivational quote, so we're going to slide it along.
We've got a producer in the background, Andy Mack.
Hello.
Doing things in the background, because we're going professional with this shit.
We have a microphone this week.
So we're doing it old school, but we're testing on making things better. So while Mike runs through for his quote, I'll introduce our second returning guest, because we're running out of people who want to come talk to us. Miss Megan Bain.
Hello.
How are you, friend?
I'm all right, thanks.
Stuff. So, Mike, are we ready yet?
We are. The pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity. The optimist sees opportunity in every difficulty.
This week's...
If you didn't hear that, that's Megan rolling her eyes.
I hate Shelley that so much.
But she loves
this. Trying to be positive for a change. I've spent 32 years being negative.
No, negativity is where it's at.
So for those 10 seconds a week, Mike does something positive.
That's it.
So we're gonna talk our usual carry-on this week. Megan's brought notes for the second time in a row. Actually, I'm the only one without notes.
Should we start with the feedback from our devout listener?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Listener.
We got some mad props from Mr. Alec Cook on Facebook, who informed us that we have replaced Doug Stanhope as his podcast.
I know.
Listening. And he also gave us some really insightful feedback, which put almost the entire last episode to shame.
It did, yeah. It's amazing what happens when people actually do some research
He had links, he had information, so shout out Ali. So Mike's going to read it out.
I'm stall because I'm fine, trying to find it.
Oh, man.
What page was it on?
I don't know.
Or what post was it on?
It was on the last podcast page.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is the type of professionalism
I was
going to
say. This is the most professional podcast I've ever seen.
That's all right. This is when you guys got a fill, though. All right, so...
Ali's point.
So you can see this on the Monkey Sword Fight Facebook page, which I hope if you're listening to this, you already follow.
Can I just say, we lost a like last week.
We lost a like.
We went from 87 down to 86.
Oh, babe.
Who did we piss off last week?
I don't know about
what did we? What were we even talking about last week?
Maybe it was someone because we said pregnant women don't get jobs.
That really could be it.
Whoever that is.
If you listened, you would know what we meant, though.
Yeah, but we're joking. We're not to be taken seriously. We know nothing about nothing.
All right, now, I didn't read all of this yet, so I'm just going to read it through, speaking of pretty women not getting jobs. So this is from Allie Cook. It says, some thoughts regarding the pit girls, ring girls, cheerleaders, etc., etc. I think in the midst of all the trolls and shit-fighting and central concern around the use of women as glamour, in quotes, in sports, it's more to do with exploitation than anything else. Firstly, I think it's probably not accurate to suggest they get paid top dollar and stay in fancy hotels. Now, I think that was
me.
That was you. That was
my point.
Just trying to shift blame.
Anything other than a travel lodge to me is a nice hotel. So.
Me too. Yeah, there you go. Number one, for many of them, it's either a means to an overall end, such as raising their modeling profile. Well, now we have Instagram, so you don't need to do that. As for the case for Kelly Brook, so she started out as a ring girl.
She must have started, I think she was an F1 girl, or she was some sort of glamour model. I know she's...
Go! Somebody go! No.
She was in Piranha 3DD, which is a cinematic classic.
Piranha 3DD?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh. Sounds kinky. All right, number two, or generally a fun way of supporting another career, such as studying to be a nurse. That's oddly specific.
I know someone who, while studying at uni, worked as a stripper in Edinburgh and now runs two successful businesses and is a very successful artist. So, to be fair, if it's a means to an end, then more fucking power to you, if you ask me.
One of the first criticisms that would be raised, however, is regardless of a woman's willingness to work in a role where she is valued entirely based on objectification... / commoditization.
Is that a word?
Yes. Of her aesthetic appeal, she may still be economically exploited, which is wrong.
Good point.
Anyone have anything to say on that?
I completely agree with
this
that.
This is all I was saying to you last week.
This is literally it.
Specifically, look at the ratio of remuneration to perceived value added to the event. As Jordan rightly pointed out, it's a business stroke advertising function. If the, so you're one for one now, so you're back at zero.
I think I'm more one for six.
If the girls are so vital to the overall sales pitch, how come they're paid like crap? I mean, that could be said for most things, though. I mean, college sports.
Unless we know exactly what these girls are paid.
That's true. Yeah.
Then, like I say, is because you said this to me last week. We had, like, we had a discussion about it. Point to Megan for the podcast listeners, and she made a good point that it's not so much black and white as a grey area. There may be some industries where they are paid quite well,
yes.
And there may be other industries where they are paid a pittance in mm-hmm. comparison with the competitors, which to a point is fair, but at the same time they should be paid fairly for the job that they're doing or the money that they're bringing in.
Yeah, I agree. One might argue that it's a demand stroke supply issue with many more candidates than positions driving the wages down. However, there comes a point where that descends into outright exploitation, such as when UK Domino's pineapple in brackets pizza manager Lance Batchelor claimed that he should be allowed to employ more immigrants because they'll work for less money. Now, number five, now EU immigrant workers might be willing to live 5 to a bedroom and work £3 per hour, but it's grossly unfair relative to exorbitant profits earned by Domino's for selling their shitty pizzas and contributes to the overall driving down of the quality of life for their employees, which I agree with as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Ali's a very smart guy, if you haven't. Probably the smartest American football player I've come across.
Especially for a fucking linebacker.
I know, too. Yeah. Hits hard, and he's hitting us with the hard-hitting facts.
Oh, yeah.
Another argument is that you get exposure to assist in a modeling career or similar. This is the same thing that photographers, comedians, and musicians get told when people don't want to pay them. Now, if you're like your good selves, you volunteer to get out there and do it for yourselves with the podcast and sink your own money into it, then fine. You have total control over what you do, when you do it, and how you do it. And nobody's going to try and make you fuck a businessman. Well, I got offered on my way in here. I don't know if you did.
I think that's just crazy. That's crazy Stuart who just hangs about. Don't fuck him.
He touched me.
He won't give you anything apart from syphilis.
Make you fuck a businessman so you can keep doing it. There's clearly a possibility for the Harvey Weinstein type behavior here. Can we please keep the girls and make everyone happy? I believe the answer is yes, and Russell Kane presents an excellent solution. If all the fans and owners and participants are men and all the glamour providers are all women, then we would seem to have a problem. However, in F1, for example, if there are a significant number of female drivers, mechanics, and owners, and likely then fans, and half the glamorous assistants are also pit guys, and they're getting decent pay for dragging their arse around the probably flying coach, and in reality, likely staying in Travelodge, then fair enough. Signed, yours sincerely, the white guy who has never worked as a ring girl. And he has put links for everything, even though Lad Bible is, I don't know if you can cite Lad Bible.
To be fair, I think Lad Bible is a fairly reliable source of information, most of their stuff.
Really?
Well, it never used to be, but nowadays it is actually a fairly...
Sunk money into it.
Yeah, they've sunk a lot of money into it, so it is a fairly legible source of information.
Fair enough.
They cite all their...
It's a bit like BuzzFeed these days. BuzzFeed News is genuinely breaking stories left, right and centre, and it's... You know, maybe different quizzes.
The name shouldn't discourage people from checking out Labour. Plus, some of their shit is well funny.
So thank you to Ali for putting that together. I'm glad I read through that whole thing. That's a good point.
It was, and like I say, you made a lot of good points to me last week that I didn't consider, which I think is a flaw of this podcast, is we quite often discuss a lot of topics that
we don't know anything about.
Yeah, because we're men.
It's okay, you can come home and tell me about them, and then I tell you
I usually go home and ask Megan what I've done wrong, and then she helps fill me in on it.
Do you walk in with your head down, like, what did I do this week?
This is what I talked about. But no, I think like you said to me last week, it is definitely a great area, and if it is going to continue to be a thing, then it does require a fair pay for the money that they would then contribute to the business, which is what I would say for anything.
Yeah.
So if these women are willing to work in that job, then they should be remunerated accordingly. So say, for instance, the thing they're advertising brings in 5 million, they should not get a tiny fraction of that, they should get a fair piece of the pie.
Yeah. And the same can be said for people around the world.
Yeah, the same can be said for anything. Like, guys, people who advertise or, I don't know, ladies, I mean, just anything, if you should be paid fairly for any services that you provide to even a larger business, they can sometimes screw on the little guy. I'm saying that everyone should get a fair piece of the pie.
We all agree on that.
Dex and Douglas included.
Great podcast, but everyone agrees on
yeah.
No, we need to argue.
Well, one thing we're going to talk about just briefly is there was a bet made 2 weeks ago.
Mother of God.
That the loser of the Super Bowl. So if Rose didn't listen, me and Mike said that we both pick a team for the Super Bowl, and the person whose team won, they would then bring the loser a pineapple and ham pizza for the loser to devour, as this has been a source of much discussion.
It has, probably too much.
From pretty much from episode 2 when Mike joined the family, we've talked about how disgusting pineapple pizza is. So we do in fact have a pineapple pizza in the building, and we're going to stick it in the oven and we're going to eat that shit live. And
eat that shit live.
And in celebration this week, in fact, of 100 years since women won the vote.
Yes.
We're going to ask our guest to put it in the oven.
I'm going to point out quickly that I am under 30, and 100 years ago, women who were under 30 still couldn't vote, so technically not massively.
Well, you know what I'll do? Actually, factually, you know what I mean? In my support of women's suffrage, I'll put the piece on.
Oh, thank
you. Thank you, dear.
Fuck off. So while Jordan's doing the lady work.
That's a sexist comment, mate.
I know. Apologies. So, we can move on to the Super Bowl, I guess, since we're talking about...
Oh, I touched the pizza.
We're talking about the Super Bowl, and Megan, is this the first one that you've watched?
Yes.
It was, all right. So we've touched on this in a previous podcast, but you were designated the Philadelphia Eagles team.
I was, yeah. I was informed many weeks ago that that was the team I should support, and I'm very glad. I'm happy with my decision.
Oh, especially aren't when we I got all?
To,
yeah.
Especially when I got to see what the fans were up to that night after they won the Super Bowl.
Did that not make you and any other normal fan
no,
go, you know what?
I thought that was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. I just felt like it was a good representation of who my team should be, that they were breaking awnings off of like the Ritz-Carlton, someone ate horse shit, like it's just the most insane stuff.
The one where it was the giant guy running about topless with nothing but a plastic eagle mask on.
No,
it was fucking terrifying, but at the same time the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I just like the fact that you couldn't tell from what was happening in Philadelphia who won.
No.
Like, they could have lost, they could have won, and either way,
I reckon if they lost, they would have declared martial law. they would have sent the military in.
I loved it.
I will say, though, like, because let's say we were going through with some friends to watch the Student Union in Dundee, and like Megan was keen, but not super keen, but within about 3 minutes of the game, she was like leaning forward, hands over her mouth, just screaming at the fucking TV.
Well, this is what I was saying before. I mean, a lot of people after the Patriots beat Jacksonville, everyone was like, oh, it's New England again. And I was like, yeah, but that makes the drama. You know what I mean? Tom Brady could possibly be dethroned. And he was.
We will see. For all the slagging he gets, so he didn't even play that well. I thought out of the two quarterbacks, I thought Brady was inconsistent.
Yeah. Well,
but then he still threw for 505 yards, which is the most by a QB ever in postseason.
It was over 1,000, I think.
It was 1,000. The 1,000 combined, I think, from both teams.
Between both teams. Sorry.
He threw 505 yards.
Yeah.
And his team didn't. No, I'm not saying he didn't play badly, but I thought he didn't play consistently. I thought he was slow out. I thought so. Some of his throws were unbelievable, but at the same time, he was fucking up throws that were like small distances, and then that catch that he missed when they tried the flea flicker.
Yeah.
So the one, you know, the players talking about, like, he was wide open, the ball was floated to him, so it wasn't even coming at speed, so he literally just had to hold his hands.
Yeah.
And he just ballsed it up. But then what I fucking love was that the Eagles then just go, let's mug him off. And they played it perfectly for a touchdown. So was it 4th and 1? And they didn't just go for it.
They went for it.
We're like, they thought, oh man. And you got to say, like, was it Foles?
Big Dick Nick.
Big Dick Nick, yeah.
Just swagging in. When did he start playing? Was it about halfway through the season? Or?
It was late. It was toward the end. I think they already had won 11 games, so it was in the last.
Just towards
part of the
postseason.
Yeah.
So he played all of postseason.
Yes.
And then got Super Bowl and MVP coming in as a second choice QB. Now that's fucking impressive.
It was impressive.
I thought out of both of them, I thought he looked super fucking composed.
He did. Yeah, he did. I mean, I don't think Tom Brady ever looks like he's panicking or he's out of control. But
he looked very sad.
He did look sad at the
end. His head went down.
But it just looked so great.
I know, right?
Him on his ass, kind of like, damn. I was like, I love it.
I thought his head went down really fucking early.
Yeah.
I remember looking at him in the first quarter and sort of cut to him on the bench and his head was just down.
Yeah.
And I was talking to our friend who's a Patriots fan and she was usually fucking sitting, checking his playbook, just going over things with the coach. But he was just sat by himself with his head, like, looking at the floor.
Yeah, I guess that's what happens when you play such a...
Yeah, fuck you, Tom Brady.
Defense, like...
Or kiss your kids, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that was it.
That's number one on my list to chat about.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if that did mess with him, because...
Well, he took a lot of heat on him.
He took a lot.
And, like, it's probably unfair. Do you know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah. I mean, like... it was weird.
It's a bit strange.
Like, it's very weird,
I stopped kissing my dad on the lips when I think I was, like, 4, probably.
Yeah.
Like...
Oh, that's the chair falling apart.
Oh, my God!
It was funny.
So, we just got, like, Andy caught us off guard in the background.
Yeah, just chucking up there. The house is falling apart. Yeah,
cheers.
That was number one on my list of things to talk about.
I mean, I just...
It's weird. I mean, what age you said 4 years old?
That's a ballpark. I can't remember the last time I kissed my dad on the lips.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I thought maybe it was his wife is Brazilian, so maybe it's kind of like a Brazilian custom that he's brought into his home.
I don't know.
But I think, like, but people went in hard on him.
They did. Yeah.
Although, like, did you see what he wore into the Super Bowl?
Oh my God! My favorite tweet was someone said he looked like a newly divorced woman who won, like, a big settlement in court, just walking out with the coat and everything.
He had, like, the feathered hair, and he looked like a Russian KGB agent from a shit 90s film.
He was
trying to fuck up Bruce Willis.
I kind of like that Tom Brady, he does that, and then he's on the field, and he's a warrior, though. He comes out, he's fired up, and he's ready to go. I like how he has those two sides in. Like, don't get me wrong, I hate him, but I'll give him his props. Yeah, I'll give him his props.
No, don't get me wrong, man. He is probably one of the greatest QBs, if not the greatest QB of all time.
Agree 100%.
Like, I noticed that a lot because his offensive line played brilliantly, but what I did notice is that although they held the guys off, they cut back a lot. So there was a lot of time where he was literally inches from the defenders and he still managed to get that pass off. And his composure is not to be fucking argued.
Yeah, he's a monster. He's a monster.
I've got to give it, man. It was probably... I've not watched a lot of American football, like, because some of the games are long, but, like, that was one of the best games of American football I've ever watched. Like, and like you say, for Megan, like, the casual observer, to get into it, that's the type of football you want to see, like, long passes.
I mean, I was up, jumping, celebrating, I was stressed, because I was convinced the entire game.
Well, then
I didn't know who was going to win the entire game.
That last play, I couldn't believe it, so what, the Patriots got it on their own goal line.
Yeah.
Bailed out on the first three. Fourth and 10, and he manages to get it halfway up the pitch.
Yeah.
And then the last play, there were like 8 people in there. Gronk just about got it. Do you know what I mean? So right up until then, I was convinced.
Me too.
The thing is, I was feeling really confident, and then Mike came and sat there next to us, and I was like, yeah, it's going well, he's at. Nah, the Patriots are going to fucking win. And you got inside my head.
After watching last year, it was incredible watching last year, and I was like, there's no way I'm betting against this team ever again. But the Eagles they came, so I have a little doubt in my mind now.
The best thing, though, has got to be is Kevin Hart. Waking up with probably the worst case of beer fear in the world.
Oh, that was funny.
Oh, Mark, can you imagine getting the fear if you were famous?
But I don't understand why he thought it would be okay to go up on the podium. There was nobody else but players and, like, Eagles staff up there. So
because
I don't understand
he's probably one of the biggest comedian/movie stars in the world, and he was fucked. So, I mean, so, like...
Did he poke the guy in his chest when he was trying to go up?
Well, he just sort of, like, there's a great, somebody, he posted this on his own Instagram, so he's taking the piss out of himself, which is good, but he posted this photo on his Instagram, but someone somehow managed to get a photo of him, like, on their phone, just as he was knocked back, and he's literally pulling their face as if saying,
I've seen that,
And he's like, I don't know who got this photo, but well fucking done. It was literally the exact moment, but I think he was just smashed, because he put up a photo on his, he put up a video on his Instagram and it was like drink 1, drink 2, drink 11, oh, drink 13,
yeah.
And then he tells his security to stand by his wife and then he disappears off and starts getting pushed around by the Eagles players and they start roughing up his head and he starts pushing them back. He's like, I got pissed off because one of them rubbed my head.
Did you see Will Smith's video?
Yes.
Oh my god, I loved it so much. It was so cute.
Will Smith, by the way, doing amazing things on Instagram.
Since he's joined,
it's great.
He fucking gets it. Yeah. But the thing is, as well, it's funny to see Will Smith has become an embarrassing dad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And he's like, he's taken to it.
Speaking of embarrassing, the quick tangent. I was eating dinner today with my daughters, and she was like, oh, you know, we have a school trip coming up. We're going to the museum, which, the museum's good, but they don't really change the stuff in there too. No. I have exhibits. Which
no,
is
man,
cool,
I've been going to Perth Museum since I was a kid.
Yeah, it's
like,
the same. The
same thing. Yeah. Anyway, so I was like, oh, check my schedule. I can go. You know, it's on a day where I'm off from work. She was like, oh, that's great. She goes, my friends will be happy that you're coming after the last trip. And I was like, oh, I was like, do you think I'm a cool dad? She was like, yeah, they do. I was like, what do you mean they do? She was like, well, I get to see you every day, so I don't think you're cool. And I was like, what?
Yeah, it's the accent, man. I was like, that happened to us in the union. We're sat down and me and Mike are chatting, and someone literally taps Mike and goes, oh my god, where are you from? And I was just like, I'll leave you to this, Mike. You must have had this conversation a million times since you came here.
Oh, yeah, a lot.
I discovered my dislike for young people grew. So like, we were sitting there, so the way they had it set up for those was they had like couches and rows. So like, we were sat on the couch, which we commandeered. Like, we got there and it said reserved for such and such, so we just moved those signs and sat down.
Not anymore.
But because we were grown-ups, I think, none of the children wanted to come and ask us to move. So we're just like, we saw sat 10 minutes.
Mister, can we have our seat back?
So I was like, no. But so like, we're sitting there and then there's some girl sat on the couch in front of me at the start of the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sort of leaning over and I could see, but after a while I was like, I'm not fucking sitting here for 2 hours leaning over. So I just, the pizza's ready. So like, I politely tapped her on the shoulder and was just like, can you sit down please? And she storms off in a huff. I was like, what the fuck? And then 10 minutes later, Megan overheard her telling her pals, that guy told me to fucking move.
Oh, that's not done yet.
Oh. Have I worked your oven right?
No, that's cool. Yeah, it's just that.
Yeah, she tells her friends, that dick told me to fucking move. I'm like, no. I asked you politely not to sit in front of the TV.
What did you think? Was that the first time you watched the Super Bowl there? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you think of the whole setup and everything?
I thought it was quite good, man.
The screen worked the entire game. Probably would have been better.
I had to be fair, I was
Did it cut out during the game? Yeah.
Well, not during the game. Pretty much the whole way through the halftime show, so I was pretty happy. Yeah. But
what it was that they were watching it on the projector through some guy's laptop with Game Pass.
I saw
but
it, yeah.
The laptop cable was dodgy. So that kept coming. It didn't do it too much during the game, although right at the end of the second half, before they played the fucking flea flicker pass, it cut back to the start of the broadcast. We all thought that it got half and finished.
Yeah.
Then when we checked our phones, the Eagles had scored again.
Oh, I'm raging.
Although the highlight was the guy who spewed his dinger in the middle of the second half.
No, it was quarter one.
Was it quarter?
Yeah, because you literally got up just to go outside for like 2 seconds, came back, and this guy was spewing.
Yeah. Was it a Canes player?
No, it was just like a crowd member. But then, so he lasted like another 15, 20 minutes, and then as he got out, everyone cheered, so this guy thought it'd be a great idea to try and take his top off and join in the cheer.
Look, he will have the fear.
Oh, man. But the thing is, I picked the wrong moment to walk past him. I walked past him and almost got caught in the splash zone.
Oh,
and my nice suede boots. So if that had happened, the guy had got a suede boot right to the coop.
Didn't be kicking.
But what I did notice from further inspection was that there was no food came up.
Oh.
So I'm just thinking, right, like, guy, right, if you're going to watch the Super Bowl, this is going to start late, it's going to finish late.
Yeah.
Got to be sensible, man.
Got to pace yourself.
Got to do it.
That's what we did. Me and my two friends, John and Chris, we ended up going to Tony Macaroni.
Nice.
Which was pretty cool. So we lined our stomachs nicely, and then we went to just some random bar on the way up to the Union. And then we started getting on it. And when we got in there, it was like, we were getting rounds of three doubles for like 7 times.
I'm telling you, man, like, I've only seen you drunk a couple of times, but you're about the happiest drunk I've ever seen in my life. You were just walking around with this little smile on your face. Like, everything was right with the world.
It's a celebration. It's the end of the football season. Now every Sunday is just going to be
misery.
Doing things with your family. And who wants to do that? You know what I mean? Like, no one wants to do that.
Saying that, like, we took my kid and his friend swimming on Saturday. And man, I just...
My favourite thing is we got an unexpected night without him on Saturday night, though.
Yeah.
So it was going to be great. We thought we'll stay up, we might go watch a movie or something like that. We were asleep by maybe half.
Yeah, night. Was that? Was that? Look at us. I was going to the cinema. Yeah, we were going to the cinema. What time did the film start? 20 past 9. Ah, cool. half past eight, we're lying there on the couch in our pajama bombs. She's like, it's not happening, is it?
Nope.
Like, no. I was like, cool, we'll stay up late, quarter to ten, we'll go to bed. Yeah. So like, Sunday we woke up fresh, we made pancakes, there was no hangover, it was shit. But I was going to say, just quickly to touch on that, the halftime show.
Yes. What do you think of that? He's getting a lot of shit for it.
Well, see, man, I love JT.
Me
but
too.
You know, the one thing that got me was that the videos that I seen from the crowd,
yeah,
the atmosphere in the stadium was dead. Mm. The only atmosphere was
around them.
Yeah, because
I think that's why they do that.
Yeah.
So the camera looks
that's what
like.
I'm saying, but it didn't look like there was any screens, so it feels like it's purely for TV.
Oh yeah.
The crowd couldn't actually see what was going on.
Yeah.
Saying that, but then through the week I was watching like bits on Facebook about like the best halftime shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like Prince's one from like 2005. It was fucking amazing. And there was
I remember that.
And there was Michael Jackson's from the 90s.
I'm pretty sure the number one was not people don't even talk about it being Coldplay's one. It was when Beyonce came out and then Bruno Mars was there.
Yeah, because the best part about it was Beyonce dancing, Bruno Mars dancing in the background every now and again. Chris Martin's going, hey! I'm also here. Oh, Mike's checking on his pizza.
Is it?
I'd rather just eat it cold
anyway. Oh, what even happens to pineapple when you put it in the oven?
Really? Oh. We went to Viva Brazil and you loved the pineapple there.
Yeah, pineapples by itself is fine. Oh, so podcast listeners, Mike is in the kitchen. We'll say as a forward-thinking podcast, we have not once got the lady to go to the kitchen.
Once got what?
We've not asked Megan to go to the kitchen at all because we are a forward thinking.
Very forward thinking, very progressive.
Exactly right. Oh, wow. Oh, it's coming close.
We should go on Facebook.
Yeah, what we'll do is we'll Facebook Live this bit for anyone who cares. Oh, yes, there.
Andy Henderson's probably looking, screaming, no! This is,
you know, sir. Andy Mack's got the right idea. He's got like a good 5 foot distance between himself and his shitty ass pizza.
Oh, well, want a bit of that, man. Oh,
that's why I came here.
Oh god.
Oh man, we all gonna end up joining in.
Oh, you're gonna be the only one who doesn't eat it.
Okay. Right. Okay. Okay. Well, I'll do four slices, and we can all just get involved. We'll do this. We'll do this as a unit. Right. Everyone, pick a piece.
I thought the whole thing was the person who lost the bet had to eat it, not you.
I know, but if everyone else
he's hungry.
If everyone else is going to have some, then I'm going to have some as well. Right. Hey, Mike, give me a phone. You do this first. You take the normal.
All right. Should I go for the one with the most pineapple on it?
Yes. Yes, you should.
Pick it out so I don't hear anything.
Okay, you have to get that a bite.
Also, it's not that big of a piece, so you can dump it pretty quick.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit. Moment of truth.
Oh, that's so gross. It's been so long since I've had pineapple on pizza.
Oh. How is it?
It's like eating candy and pasta or pizza. It's disgusting. It's so bad. It's just as bad as I thought it was going to be.
There you have it, folks. Pineapple on pizza fucking sucks. We only have one viewer. Who is it? Joanna McDonald. Hey, Joanna.
It'll save.
You good?
No.
We're done now. Fuck this.
That's a beautiful moment to join in with.
Forever.
Yeah,
be on Facebook.
Yeah,
cool.
Here you go, man. Right,
cheers.
Megan.
Oh, cheers.
Great pod, you guys. Great pod.
Yeah. Okay. Wait a minute, I'll give it a bash.
I'm glad that's over with.
Oh, so it doesn't smell right at all.
Mm-mm-mm.
I mentioned before about the price of the booze there. It was ridiculously cheap. How does that benefit students?
Oh, motherfucker.
Students don't have a huge amount of money.
So, and surely they have £7.50 there.
And students likes getting drunk, so you could go out in town and it'd be way more expensive, or you can go to a student union and get minced for next to nothing. So
it's pretty insane.
Yeah, my friend ordered 2 gin and tonics and it was £2.50.
Wow.
Yeah.
I picked the pineapple off and now I just have pizza. I was right in the wrong.
Wish I could do that.
That was fucking awful.
Me and Andy are having a great time. Like.
Next topic. After eating, it's not really a topic, but just something that I wanted to say. I think I'm gonna stop buying jeans.
All right.
And just wear sweatpants. What are your thoughts on that?
So for listeners, I feel like I need to explain how I've turned up at Mike's house today. I have made zero effort. I have on my actual slippers. I left the house in.
Can you describe the slippers to us, please?
Right, so one, they're grey and sparkly. One says sweet, the other says dreams, and they have a 3D moon and stars on them. They are pretty awesome.
She's also wearing my socks.
I'm wearing his socks, leggings, a sports bra, which is bright pink, and a slouchy brown jumper, which doesn't match. So wearing sweatpants every single day is 100% cool with me.
So you're okay with the sweatpants?
Yeah, I don't care. So
I literally went out to get petrol yesterday wearing my Star Wars printed pajama bombs. But like, I just feel like some occasions call for jeans.
Like?
Work.
Could I have gotten away with wearing sweatpants in a Super Bowl?
Yes.
I could have.
Oh yeah, because like it was surrounded by students.
Yeah,
I felt
and
overdressed.
I don't understand how kids dress nowadays, because it looked like what they do is they cover themselves in glue and they jump through H&M. Like, they'll grab a jacket from evening wear.
Yeah.
Like, I was walking to work the other day and I seen a girl walk past me wearing a giant green parka, hooped earrings, full face of makeup, tracky bottoms. So they were like, they weren't fitted at the bottom, so they were like sort of flared tracky bottoms, a white stripe down the...
I didn't know they were flared, I thought they were ones who were fitted at the bottom.
No, they weren't fitted.
Oh, wow.
And high heels.
Flared. Whoa!
And I sort of text Megan and I was just like, what the fuck did I just see? I was like... And I know I'm getting older, but I was like, oh, I can't have pineapples right.
Yeah, it's... I feel nauseous.
Oh, man, it was not fun.
I'm still enjoying my slice. It's good.
But, yeah, I think you could have got away with wearing it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to just start buying more sweatpants. One of the reasons why is because Stosh, another listener of ours, I came up to see you. I don't know, maybe you weren't there or not, or I don't know what happened, but Stosh was like... Oh, I know why you're not playing for the Canes anymore. You got a dad bod now. And I was like, excuse me?
Oh, shit, I wasn't.
I was like, what? I put my drink down. I was like, I'm done drinking for the night.
It's not even that as well as that. You got your physique slagged off by a lineman.
I know. And I couldn't even say anything to him. It's like, come on, he's a lineman. What am I going to do?
He'll just eat you.
So I was depressed for the rest of the night after that. Maybe that's why I was rude to that girl that was like, are you American?
No, I think you freaked out because she was like, 15 years younger than you. And you're just like, nope.
I have gray hair.
I'm not even dipping my toe in these risky waters. Yeah. Well, we've done that as well. We were accepting, like, some little fucking idiot came running up to our pal because she had a Patriots top on.
Oh, God.
And was like, she's like...
She asked
No, I'm not trying to be like... You know, you get these girls sometimes at events where, like, they pretend they're really into it because they can then show off.
Yes.
Guys are the exact same. But, like, in this instance, it was a girl. And, like... She was like standing in front of the TV towards the end of the last play, and her pal was just trying to get her away, and then she was sat in front of us, and we were like, so anyone who watched the last 5 minutes was stressful as all fuck.
Especially in that game, yeah.
Yeah, and then she turned around and said, who are you supporting? We both went, Eagles. And she went, I'm not going to talk to you then. And Megan just literally turned like, good. And it was just the saltiest thing I've ever heard in my life. It was just like ice cold. The girl like, was just like, oh, okay.
Her. Wasn't it interesting her screaming about how her stepdad had made fun of her because it looked like the, and I just was like, just piss off, like, we're watching.
It's moving that as well. There was a guy standing next to her who was like completely and utterly friend zoned.
He wasn't friend zoned, he didn't know her. He was trying his hardest to go home with her.
It was like, it was so painful to watch. You know, I feel like you ought to go and like speak to younger guys now and be like, tell them, look, man, just stop. Right?
No, I want to stay away from all younger people. Except for my children. Maybe you're a kid if we're doing something. Yeah. Now, but besides that, I don't want anyone younger than me.
I don't
want
anyone near teenagers. They just upset me. But no, like, to go right back to your point again, sweatpants. I feel like you would end up ruining sweatpants for yourself.
Nothing can ruin sweatpants.
But, for I mean, like, it's like the joy of like wearing nice trousers to work all week and then go out on Saturday or whatever and you're wearing jeans and then on the Sunday. You can just slam on your
That's
sweats.
A good point, yeah.
And it's just like, whereas you'd maybe wash off the novelty a bit.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Imagine being comfy all day, every day.
See, I don't want to be comfy all day, anyway. I want to get out of my comfort zone, you know? That's why I'm a winner.
The next dress.
Jeans is why you're
why
a winner.
Jeans are why I'm a winner, yeah.
You wear such uncomfy jeans, you win at life.
I feel like, and we talked about this, but this just happening again with me. I went to, I think it was in H&M, and I was looking for, they don't have any normal jeans anymore. It's all like slim fit or slim, like this aggressive kind of tight pant, which I don't want to wear. See, yeah, I just want something that's not going to make my thighs look
because
big.
Because of my giant thighs and caboose, I need the stretchy jeans because I just rip the shit out of it. I've not owned a pair of non-stretch jeans that my arse hasn't just ripped out at one point or another. Mm. I'm just not built for it.
Maybe you need that boot cut from like back in the...
Thicker than a Snickers.
Thicker than a Snickers.
But see what I there's places like River Island and that, they don't cater for the man that's above a 34-inch waist.
No, they don't.
And that is not me, unfortunately. My this large
not for us guys with dad bods.
Yeah, not even that, man. This athletic build, you know, it's just difficult to find clothes that wrap around my muscles.
So now that we have another lovely woman, well, only one woman here.
There are more.
The first lady of the Monkey Sport Fight podcast.
Yeah. Score!
Go me.
We should ask about these new Doritos.
This is my favorite thing that's happened this week, possibly.
So,
I love it. I love it.
In case anyone who hasn't heard.
What did I say? Yeah, sorry, I'll say my line at the end.
So the brand has been working on developing chips, or crisps, as you guys would call them, that are low crunch with the same taste profile. Can someone define taste profile first? Taste profile. But with less of the flavor sticking to the fingers, and you can put it in a purse.
That's the best bit.
Wait, what?
No, someone is joking.
Already.
Because women love to carry their snacks in a purse. That's why I said that.
It's what my bag mostly consists of.
So, as you're speaking for all women now,
yes.
Do you feel the need for a different type of crisp
for
yourself?
Are you sensitive lady teeth okay with how normal crisps are?
This is the most ridiculous. It's on a par with that time that Bic released a pen for women. This is ridiculous. We are not a different species.
Can I just say, actually, in support of that, I actually chipped a tooth on a Dorito about a month ago.
Yeah, you did. Maybe you need delicate
lady. Maybe I need the soft lady Doritos.
Doritos are perfectly fine. Women eat Doritos. We don't need that. We need, you know, quality, equal healthcare in places, birth control in places. We don't need soft Doritos. Nobody likes soft Doritos.
But what would that even work? How would that even work?
I don't know.
Are they stale? Or are they just stale?
The best tweet I've seen was like the header of an article just said, softer Doritos, the solution to a problem no one was asking about.
What's one thing I will say that's kind of interesting, though, is it's a female CEO. I can't remember what her name is.
Her name is Nui, Indra Nui.
Yeah.
Yes.
She has actually done some very progressive and good things whilst working at that company. She has, I can't even remember them all. I was reading it earlier on. It's a slightly misleading headline because it was a kind of throwaway thing in a whole other interview,
mm-hmm.
and people have led with it as if Doritos were going, women need soft crisps, let's go for it.
I've always thought that. I mean, yeah. I see the struggle you have.
My jaw just can't take it.
Your soft lady jaw with your pack of McCoys. I've often tell you it's not good for you.
Well, it says, newly suggested, women don't like to crunch too loudly in public. Is that an issue for you at all?
I don't think people are more confused when I'm not crunching.
I'd like it if she crunched less.
Sounds kind of quiet over there. And they don't like to lick their fingers generously.
yes, we do. That's the best. You have seen me eat a bag of Doritos by myself. There is no bother with that.
Quick tangent. What's the best flavor of Doritos?
Red ones. What are they?
Yeah, hot and spicy.
Chili hot ones or whatever. Chili heat.
Chili heat. All
right, this podcast is over. Everyone get out now. You're not going to bring pineapple pizza in my home and disrespect the tangy cheese.
They're good. Don't get
it's the
wrong.
OG of Doritos. It's
they're
the,
good.
It's
they're
the
good.
Original
Finally
flavor.
Finally got that spice.
What about Cool Ranch? We can all agree
that
Cool Ranch.
What's the fucking point? What is the fucking point?
We've set them off.
If I wanted to chew on some flavorless cardboard, I'd just nibble on a box.
It's gross. Cool Ranch is
what the fuck? Well, that's the point. See, someone goes, I've got Cool Ranch Doritos. He goes, well, you can fuck off.
If it actually tasted like ranch anything, it would be all right. But it doesn't. It just tastes like they took a bunch
of... Someone said to me, it's like, because I like the original Pringles, but they at least have a bit of flavor. It's a nice salty tang. Whereas the Cool Ranch, it's literally... Yeah.
I watch a lot of those tasty videos or whatever videos, and they've always got ranch in them.
You say a lot. You occupy most of your silent moments.
I constantly watch videos.
You know when you're sitting there with your girlfriend and she's not saying anything for a while and you start to wonder if you've done anything wrong? My first thought is, what food video is she watching?
Sometimes I watch makeup videos. Okay.
So, all right.
Sometimes
I watch makeup videos.
Not very often.
I've stumbled across these food videos. Speaking about licking fingers, this is going to get really weird.
This is the best segue ever.
They do hot wings, but they do really spicy hot wings. It's a Scoville level, I think it's by hot sauces.
Yeah.
So I think there's 12 of them, and they have a hot sauce for each one, and then they just interview famous people, and they get to like 9 or 10, and they start asking questions, and the guy's like, it's so funny. I highly recommend it.
This podcast I listened to, Kill Tony, basically, it was in the Comedy Store in America, and they get all these comedians, put their name in a bucket, and then they pull the names out, a panel of comedians, and the people, if you get your name read out, you get to then do a minute of comedy.
Yeah.
Some of it's brilliant, some of it's total shit. But what they've started doing now is they get them to do the one chip challenge, and it's like a chip that has been coated in this fucking next level hot sauce. And then what they do is they get to eat the chip, and then they get to do 2 minutes of comedy.
Oh, God.
And like, these people are literally dying
because
their mouths are on fire. And then, they don't get to eat or drink, they don't get to drink anything cold until the end of their 2 minutes.
Ouch.
So they have to try and do 2 minutes of stand up comedy with their mouths on fire, and it's fucking tremendous.
Oh, Jesus. I watched Philip Schofield, the Silver Fox, do it, and it was brilliant watching him do it.
Did he do it on Snapchat?
No, he did it on
this morning,
I think.
Oh, okay.
And it was good. It was, I'd never want to do it, but it was good watching someone else do it.
See, I like hot and spicy food, it just doesn't like me. Well, we have, if you refer back to another episode where I swore off jalapenos.
Swore off jalapenos?
I can't be controlled around them.
No.
I cannot, I can bear it. See, if they're on a pizza, I'm okay. But, if I am allowed to see how many jalapenos I can put on something myself.
Yeah.
Nah, it's not safe.
It was ladle fools when we went.
Why would you do that?
I don't know, man. I shit hard.
I was thinking that, and I was like, you know what? I don't want to know about his bowel movements.
He'll tell you.
Don't want to know about it.
Yeah, I'll share.
Sounds like a really weird place you guys must live in. Like, you're licking your fingers and crunching. He's shitting, screaming
we
in the bathroom.
So sexy.
Separate rooms. I'm just saying.
I'm not like sat on the bathroom floor.
All before 10 o'clock because you guys get to bed early. It's awesome.
We like to get 6 hours in, man, you know?
Speaking of junk food, have you, this isn't an issue for you because you have an illustrious head of hair.
Yeah, thank you.
Myself, not so much, which is why I'm wearing this hat. Chemical and McDonald's French fries could cure baldness.
Oh, shit.
You know what else is going to cure?
What?
Not my dad bod. Because if I eat a lot of them, I'm just going to be fat. I may have a head full of hair.
Oh, man. But there's nothing better than when you go to McDonald's and you get your food in and then you hand your chips and they're fucking scalding hot.
I love
it. And you've got just out the fryer. It's a very rare occurrence because they're usually there. Like, you usually never get it. But when you do get those hot chips, oh, shit.
But the scientists from Yokohama National University, they also make tires there, don't they? Discovered the chemical, I'm not even going to try and pronounce that, a silicone used in McDonald's fry oil. That's so great.
What's the name of it?
Dimethylpolysiloxane. You want to have a crack at that?
Where is it?
Right there.
Dimethylpolysiloxane, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Dimethylpolysiloxane.
She brings notes and the ability of speech.
Jesus, we're dumb. A silicone used in McDonald's fry oil to prevent splashing. Because, God forbid, we have splashing. And just throw some silicone in, that's fine.
The thing is, I always see the McDonald's workers look dead behind the eyes anyway, so I don't think they feel pain anymore.
But you know anything. From all that grease or whatever, well, they're not getting it on them because the fries don't splash. But you don't really see too many bald, teenagers working in.
I think the operative word there was teenagers.
Hey, I was thinning early.
We'll walk in next week, we'll bring a bag of McDonald's chips, we'll rub it on your head at the start of the podcast, and then we'll check for any growth by the end of it.
If you just have something to eat every week, this is what we should do. But no, I don't want greasy French fry oil on my head.
I know, I still feel a bit sick after I fucking made it.
It's gross.
I was really scared.
I was really scared
I was going to enjoy it.
I didn't. I'm happy to say I still
it was awful, but I was scared. It was
delicious. I really enjoyed it. And right. You're both babies.
Right, settle the fuck down, right?
Yeah. Guest.
Right, well, we get on just quick while we're on about our guest.
And yes.
We're talking about...
I know, I got all my...
Lady Doritos and Fragile Masculinity. We are, in fact, celebrating that it is 100 years since women were first afforded the vote in the UK. So we have, in fact, being the progressive podcast that we are, invited an actual female girl.
Was that a strong female woman?
A strong female woman.
just to hark back to episode 1 there.
Strong female woman.
I describe myself constantly.
in what seems to be
the jaw is not strong because we can't get those three.
I can't handle
everything else is fine.
But
we want a quality but softer food. But in true Megan style, she has brought notes. She's making us. She's prepared with her Sharpay and her thing. So you don't take it away. The floor is yours,
Sharpay.
To be fair, I wasn't actually originally coming on this, and then we discussed some stuff about the women's suffrage movement, and then I'm now here.
Because Jordan doesn't take notes. He was like, "Can you just come, please?
Can you do my podcast for me?"
Hey, I'm just like I'm the colour commentator.
So I must admit, I don't know a huge amount about suffrage movements in other countries. I only really know about the UK because it was taught relatively heavily while I was at school. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know how much you know about it, Mike, or not actually much. To compare when we discussed it earlier on, you, Jordan.
I just make inappropriate jokes.
You did, immediately. To the moment I even mentioned it was 100 years, you were just like, oh, well.
No, what was it? I'm just going to clarify that this is a joke, what was said, and not believe what I'm saying, but... Megan asked what we're going to talk about in the podcast, and goes, "Did anything important happen during the week?" And she said, "Well, it's 100 years since women were afforded the vote." And I goes, "No, I said important." And then she hung up the phone and didn't speak to me for 10 minutes. Like, not that she was annoyed, but we've come to this point in our relationship where if I say or do something annoying, I effectively get put in like an adult timeout until I can think about what I've done. I realise why I shouldn't say these things out loud.
Yeah, there's no steps in our house that we should put you on.
This is just an inside voice. So I'm trying to learn what is acceptable to say out loud.
No jalapenos for you, mister. You're on punishment.
So I'm going to give a bit of kind of background to the women's suffrage movement in the UK. And then there's kind of a thing going on just now, and it's interesting to hear both sides of the point of why people think this should happen or shouldn't happen. And I have an opinion, but I would obviously like to hear other
people's. Wait, so you're going to say why people thought at the time why it shouldn't happen?
No. This is something that people are thinking about now. It's obviously to do with women's suffrage, but it's not about the original. But it's nothing too much about what people's thoughts were at the time. It's more about something that could be done now.
Okay, got it.
To in some way rectify what happened. So just a general bit of information about it. In 1818, there was some talk about basically women's suffrage, and there was an act that allowed some single women to vote in parish vestry elections. And then in 1832, there was the Great Reform Act, which confirmed the exclusion of women from the electorate, so they were not allowed to vote in any
shape or form. So eventually they were allowed to do it in some
instances. Like, if you were a single woman, you owned your own home, you were allowed to vote in, like, parish matters. So kind of, like, in your church. Well, and that was it. Nothing to do with your MPs, nothing to do with that. Literally just what your church was up to. And then in 1832, they kind of confirmed that women could not vote in anything bigger. There was a few sort of things that kind of were going on calling for women's suffrage. My favourite thing that happened in 1864 is there was the first Contagious Disease Act, which was passed in England, which was intended to control STDs by having prostitutes, and then women who were believed to be prostitutes, not proving that they were prostitutes, but just believing they were prostitutes, locked away in hospitals for examination and treatment.
Can I just ask, what's your other favourite moments in 1864?
not in 1864, in this kind of bit. I just like how it backfires on them. So basically it got out how to the general public that the brutality and the kind of the vice that was happening, like the rape and everything like that was happening in these hospitals. So they launched a campaign to basically get this law repealed. And then because basically women had to act in protection of other women, and they kind of got rid of the conspiracy of silence around sexuality, they basically made clear links between the suffrage movement and her movement. So thanks to basically trying to crack down on STDs and prostitutes, the suffrage movement kind of grew a lot bigger.
I just
like the fact that it totally backfired on them. In 1865, John Stuart Mill was elected as an MP after showing direct support for women's suffrage. They then had a second Reform Act in 1867, which gave the vote to 2.5 million men. So instead of women, 2.5 million men, which was nice to have more men voting.
But why weren't they allowed to vote?
Because it was not an initial.
It was basically like landowners.
Class, gotcha.
Yeah. So the reason your vote is now secret as well is when they originally got rid of it just being landowners that could vote, you basically, because you had to say who you were voting for, the person who owned the land that you lived on would say, well, you're going to vote Tories then, or I'm going to evict you.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So then they had to get rid of people finding out who you were voting for. So basically voting for a long time was not democratic, was not safe. It was just done basically to get the people who were already in power slightly more power.
I wonder if Matt knew I voted for SNP, would he evict me? Would he kick me out of here?
No. I remember Matt eventually...
The best thing
I did vote for SNP, by the way. I'm just joking.
Matt, a few years back, I remember Matt wasn't really interested in politics. I don't know if he's telling us, but I'm going to do it anyway. He's in China. What the fuck's he going to do? he wasn't really interested in voting, and Vicky, his girlfriend, being quite politically active, sort of like pushed him to look into it and see who he wanted to vote
for. I think
for.
I remember this, yeah.
And then he ended up voting Tory, and she was fucking furious because she's the one who politicised him.
Yeah.
But after looking at it and doing his research and finding the party he most agreed with,
it was the Tories.
There you go.
And like, I wasn't happy with it either, but that was totally eclipsed by the fact that Vicky had just totally shorted him for the food. Sorry, continue.
So in 1884, there was a third Reform Act, so the male electorate doubled to 5 million. So there was now 5 million men that could vote in the UK. There was then some sort of basic suffragist movements kind of grew. In 1894, the Local Government Act, so women who owned property could vote in local elections, or like your local councillor, but not in countrywide elections. They could become poor law guardians, which Emmeline Pankhurst did, and she got a lot more politicised. And actually, it affected some of her decisions later in life after going to work in some of Manchester's, or to work improving conditions in some of Manchester's workhouses, because there was women were forced to work up until the moment they gave birth when they were pregnant.
Oh, shit.
7 and 8 year old little girls were forced to clean, like on their hands and knees, clean sort of like stone corridors. They made the workhouses as atrocious as possible, so people who were poor wouldn't go there. They would only go there if it was that or death.
Mm.
They made them awful. And you could act on school boards. So they kind of did a few more things, had a few more like suffragist movements started. I'm just trying to find out where the in 1908 there was a woman who was elected as a mayor of a small town. She was the first woman to serve. In 1905, 1908 and 1913, there was three phases of the women's social and political union militancy. So originally it was kind of just kind of like leaflets, small things like that, which then led to civil disobedience, destruction of property, and then arson and bombings.
Yes! Fuck the picture.
So they got on it. In 1909, Marion Wallace Dunlop went on her first hunger strike and was released after 91 hours of fasting.
Jesus.
In September of that year.
91 hours? I can't even go 9 hours without eating. Jeez.
9 minutes.
In 1909, they started force feeding hunger strikers in English prisons, and they did it in a very brutal and horrifying manner. In 1910, an absolute badass that I only learned about earlier on today, Lady Constance Lytton disguised herself as a working class seamstress, Jane Wharton, and was arrested and endured force feeding that cut down her lifespan considerably. She also, while in prison, used some broken enamel off of a hair clip to carve V into her chest, standing for Votes for Women. So she was a badass.
That's rough.
She also never married because her mother wouldn't allow her to marry a man of a lower class, and she was like, I'm not marrying if it's not that. She just wasn't interested. She wanted to go against what was kind of the norm at that time.
Well, we're all kind of a lower class anyway. She could have just took a break.
So in February of 1910, there was a cross-party conciliation committee of 54 MPs that would enfranchise women. And it was passed at second reading by a majority of 109, but Asquith refused to. So basically Henry Asquith, who was in power at that time, refused to give it any more parliamentary time. He then changed the bill in November of 1910 so it would enfranchise more men instead of women, so it gave more men the vote, no women. And on the 18th of November 1910... Yeah.
Christ, no wonder you guys are upset.
So in 18 November 1910, there was Black Friday, which was basically when the police brutalised women and men who were basically marching against what had just happened.
I was wondering when like the violence was going to kick off.
So David Lloyd George, in February of 1913, his house was actually burned down, despite him actually supporting women's suffrage, I don't know if he was the Prime Minister at the time. I actually don't know that, but... They might have been, but yeah, basically they were so angry that they were just like, we're going to start burning people who support our stuff down because stop passing over us, stop doing things that is constantly fucking us over. In April of 1913, the Cat and Mouse Act passed, which basically what they would do, because they were too scared for women to become martyrs while in prison and die, they would allow prisoners to hunger strike until their health was threatened, at which point they would then let them out, get themselves healthy again and rearrest them. And that was just like a continual thing he did. Emily Davidson walked in front of and was trampled and killed by the King's Horse at the Derby. It just kind of like keeps going and going and going, all this different stuff.
You've seen that? You can actually see that footage.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
It's fucking
crazy. I mean, it's really grainy.
Yeah,
you can't
like black
even see
and white, but you can just sort of see a shape moving and then just about.
Wow, that's nuts.
Yeah. So in 1914, obviously, World War One broke out, so they ceased sort of anything that was unpeaceful. So the WSPU activity immediately ceased. They actually did some really dodgy stuff because they were so keen to get women into job roles during World War One. They were Emmeline Pankhurst was a main person during the White Roses. So they would go up to people who weren't serving in the army and give them White Roses to basically identify them as cowards. So they did some really, like, there are people in this who did bad stuff. I mean, obviously arson and bombing's not great, but they did some really bad things. And on the 6th of February 1918, the Representation Act of the People of 1918 enfranchised women over the age of 30 who were either a member or married to a member of the local government.
So wait, back to the roses thing. Who was giving out the roses?
Emmeline Pankhurst. So she is a major suffragette, basically. She's well known for the suffragist movement.
And she was giving the roses to men or women that didn't want to fight?
Men who didn't want to fight.
I didn't even know it was an option for guys at that
time. There was like different ways you could
get out
avoid
of it.
Okay. If your health wasn't up to scratch, or if you had was an only kind of actual a job that was necessary over here. It wasn't like farmers.
There wasn't conscription straight away as well.
Yeah.
Like it did come to it as far as I'm aware, but like there wasn't conscription straight away that you had to go to war. But a lot of people would, you know, turn up at 16 years old, ask to go and be told no, come back tomorrow, and then come back the next day saying, I'm 19, can I go to war? So there was a lot of people who were volunteering left, right and centre, but if you didn't volunteer, they would basically go up to you and be like, you're a coward.
Yeah.
And considering, I mean, I know people didn't realise how horrifying the front lines were, but that's a dick move.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other way to describe it.
Could you imagine that happening now? That the bullying, everyone would be like, you're bullying him for not wanting to go to war.
Yeah, unless, don't join the army unless you're, or any form of armed forces, unless you're willing to do that. Like, you have to be willing to go through that and do things that are going to be tough and awful. So other than that, don't go into it. But don't force someone to go into it as well. Don't romanticise going into the army.
Don't go in and cry about it.
Oh,
I've never been to the army. Oh, fuck that.
So on this day, 100 years ago, 8.4 million women gained the vote. So that was people over 30 who were married or were members of the local government. 10 years later, we then received the vote to the same terms as men, which was over the age of 21, which was a Representation of the People Act 1928. And it was in the 1970s that obviously everyone could vote at 18, and in Scotland it was 2 or 3 years ago that they made it that everyone over the age of 16 can vote. So that's a general story of just UK's.
So what is the point you're bringing today that you have the opinion on?
So to be fair, I woke up this morning and this is the first tweet I'd seen on it, so I didn't even know this was a thing, but people are calling now to basically pardon anyone who had a criminal conviction through protests or destruction of property, anything like that, basically pardon them. Give an apology, but also pardon them, so they, even though it's posthumously, they wouldn't have that criminal act against them anymore. So it's whether or not people should do that. A lot of people, Ruth Davidson, who is the MSP for the Tories in Scotland, the Labour Party are calling behind it. Like, loads of people are going behind this right now and saying, yes, this should be done. We should, you know, look back at what was unfair treatment at the time, and apologise and pardon them.
So is this not just for the movement you were speaking about, but just for anything?
No, anyone who was basically arrested for suffrage.
I think that if nobody was harmed in your protest, then I'm cool with that. If no one died, or if no one was seriously injured, then I'm alright with that.
See, I thought that as well, but Lucy, we discussed it earlier.
Yeah.
Your point was...
To be fair, I am going to say also that I hadn't even thought about this until... This was the first tweet that I actually saw about it. This is the first information. I didn't know they were thinking of doing this. And so this, I must admit, very much so shaped my opinion on it, but I also think it's a fair thing. So it is, I don't even know how to, at C. Criado Perez. So there you go. So it's unpopular opinion coming up. I don't think the UK government should pardon the suffragettes, and here's why. And I actually really, really agree with this. So it's a completely different thing I'm going to talk about first, which was pardoning people who were convicted for homosexuality, which has just recently happened, and they had an apology issued to them. And I'm not conflating the two, I'm not saying they're the same thing, but that is an instance where an apology and a pardon should have been done, because they literally were convicted for who they loved. Alan Turing's a famous one, he was chemically castrated for being homosexual and killed himself. Like, people died, people had their lives ruined, literally because of something that they can't help, because they were gay. Mm. And 100%, there should be a pardon there, and they should have been apologised to. But this is an instance where actually I kind of think maybe they shouldn't have done. So this lady has gone on about it and basically said that they were not unwitting victims, like people who were persecuted for being homosexual. They deliberately broke the law to make a point. So no taxation without representation. So they refused to pay taxes while the voices could not be heard. So that was a deliberate point and a deliberate choice.
But is that why they were locked up, though?
Yeah, if that's some of the reasons.
If they were locked up for that, but... No, okay, I see that. I mean, if that's something that could benefit someone down the line who may need some help. If your taxes, I know in the greater scheme of things, it may not mean that much. Mm-hmm. But if they haven't paid their taxes and that could go toward the police or an ambulance that could go help somebody else, yeah, maybe you should keep those type of people locked up. Yeah.
So my kind of view on it is if your vote isn't going to affect what your taxes are going to be spent on, that's pretty fair. Don't pay taxes.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm not that I'm telling people not to pay taxes, but I think that's a pretty fair way of protesting. If you have to pay taxes and you have no choice what that's being spent on because you are not allowed to vote, yeah, that's an entirely fair protest in my view. So part of it is talking about the fact that they broke the law, they did so knowingly, and they celebrated and they were proud of this. Like, they wore what happened to them as badges of honour. Like, they had how many times they were arrested on their sashes. Emmeline Pankhurst was arrested 7 times. Like, they did not hide what they did. They weren't ashamed of it. They some of them aimed to get... You know, they were attached themselves to railings at Buckingham Palace. They wanted to be arrested. They wanted to make a protest. They wanted to make a point. Secondly, this government that we have in right now... Oh, sorry.
No, I get what you're saying now. You're saying don't wipe it away because that's what they...
That's what they were doing.
Gotcha.
So, secondly, this government is shocking for how it treats women. So for them to turn around and say, we're really sorry, women 100 years ago, sorry about what happened, it's not fair on you, let's pardon you, it kind of ignores the fact that we do not have a pro-women or a progressive government in any way, shape or form. They ignore the fact that 86% of cuts since 2010 have fallen on women.
Mm-hmm.
They refuse to fund women's refuges properly. On a single day last year, Women's Aid had to turn away 94 women and 90 children who were so desperate to escape from violence at home they had to run away. So this is a government who forces women, if you have a third child that's a product of rape, you have to prove that that's how the child was conceived for you to receive any benefits on it. And also, this was a big thing...
Fuck knows how you prove that.
Yeah. This was a big thing that kind of came out in the last election, and people were like, oh, it's just a form, it's just a form. It's not just a form. You have to entirely relive your assault before you can get anything. And that's ignoring the kind of the stigma that you would have from a social point of view. Like, this is literally just from a point of view of being able to afford it.
Yeah.
You know, this is entirely kind of like pretending like they have a pro-woman view when they are incredibly anti-women. It doesn't matter that we've got a woman PM. Like, we are not a pro-women country.
So, but where does that start, though, then? So, like, maybe... I'm not saying this would have been the point where it all turned around, but how do you begin if we say... okay, we want to do this, what would be an appropriate starting point then? You know what I mean? Like, I understand all these things have happened in the past that we don't agree with, you both don't agree with, or three of us don't agree with.
Four of us, sorry.
And I don't know, Andy may agree with it. We don't know.
Andy's a forward thinker.
But, like, it's like kind of shooting it down before nothing's even happened.
I think, do you know what to do is if you genuinely feel like something needs to be done, don't take away these women's badges of honour.
Yeah.
Like, they did this on purpose. I've got a quote here literally from Emmeline Pankhurst that says, we are here not because... So this is when she was in her trial. We are here not because we are lawbreakers. We are here in our efforts to become lawmakers. Like, that's entirely pulling apart the whole point of what they did.
So that, when you say it like that, would it not be... Rather than... I'll say this as well for a living. It is pointless to... take away and pardon these women.
Yeah.
It is
pointless. Even if it wasn't for the fact that these are badges of honour, it is pointless when there are things that can be done.
Yeah.
Not just for women, but for people in the UK at this time. I'm sure, I can't remember where it was. It was somewhere, it was either down south, but it was something like 1 in 10 children in a fairly prominent city in the UK live in poverty.
It was Bournemouth. And that's the same place that they're expending thousands of pounds putting bars on benches so homeless people can't sleep on them.
Do you know what I mean? Less than so... In honour of these people, make a change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny, don't just give it a fucking ceremonial, sorry about that, guys. Yeah. we'll take that off your record. No. In honour of these women, and by way of an apology for the way they were treated, we are going to...
Yeah.
So who has introduced this then? Who said, let's pardon these people?
To be fair, it's something that comes around any time there's a bit of an anniversary and people have been. So I don't know the first person. I know that Ruth Davidson was one of the people who championed it relatively early
she's
on.
She's a Tory, so she's not she's human. Never mind what. Make sure she's
human. Oh, stop.
But it's become kind of like a relatively... kind of like jumped upon thing.
Yeah.
But then if you look at anyone who actually talks about what sort of like what the actual inequality that we still suffer in these days, it's talking about like representation within Parliament. 31% of MPs in our Parliament are women. 34% are MSPs are female. It goes slightly higher in Wales. They've actually got a better representation, and Northern Ireland and Ireland has actually a better representation in Scotland. But it's still incredibly unequal. So it should be efforts to ensure that equality is something that's met. It should be tackling the gender pay gap. It should be ensuring that, you know, things like women's refuges are properly funded. It should be things to actually
make
bring forward equality and make a difference to women's lives. It shouldn't be...
I think that once those laws that said that women couldn't vote, as they went down the line, the ones that you just read out, like, as they were repealed, that should automatically... cancel out anything anyway.
Yeah.
So you're right. To go back and say you're pardoned is pretty pointless.
Yeah,
but anything going forward, why not honor these women by saying,
sure well, like,
we'll name this act after you?
Yeah.
Or do something like that. That
to
would
be honest as well, a pardon, a posthumous pardon is fucking pointless. Do you know what I mean? If someone's been incorrectly jailed for...
Not all people feel that way, though.
Yeah, but
some people may feel like...
No, don't get me wrong. Like for instance, the guy that you said that was murdered, that was killed himself for being gay.
Yeah.
After but that pardon would mean something. That would have some ceremonial meaning. Whereas this case, it would just make no odds. Do you know what I mean?
If the women could hear it happening, it would be an insult to them. This is what is being done.
Yeah.
Like,
especially
ignoring completely what they did.
If you were to bring those people back from the dead and say, "Oh, we've pardoned you," however, women are still getting this, this, and this, and they'd be like, "What the fuck are they pardoning me for?"
Yeah.
I didn't think about that until like I spoke with you earlier, and it does seem that with all the things that could be done, not just for women but for lower class families in the UK, children in the UK, I mean those in poverty, there's so much more that can actually be done rather than just an apology.
The amount of money that will be spent on time for people debating this, everything like this, spend it on better things. Don't spend it on everyone having a little round table and discussing whether or not, you know, they should be nice to women in the past. Do something to show that you're actually pro women.
Yeah. So like this may be a uniquely American thing, but like a lot of black people would, when they saw Barack Obama's time in office, they were like, he didn't do enough for black people, whatever the fuck that means, right? Like, do you feel that, like, look and seeing as, like, Theresa May is there, do you look at her and say, like, she doesn't do anything for women? Or do you not expect
that? I wouldn't expect her to do anything for anyone who's not a well-to-do, posh woman or man anyway, because the party she is from don't bother with the poor people and actively do stuff to damage poor people and their money and everything like this. It's all about power for the rich. So she's not someone who would bother her arse for anyone who wasn't well off anyway. But she also, on top of that, she has consistently voted against things. If you look at her voting record, she has consistently voted against things that are not... positive. Now, to me, I'm sitting here liberal lefty kind of talking about all this sort of stuff, but she has a track record of not voting in progressive manners, so no, I wouldn't say that she is.
It would be good to get like someone who is actively conservative, you know, who votes conservative on here, just so we can talk about that. I'm not either way, like, I would vote for, I know we're kind of changing the topic here, but like choose a couple of topics that mean a lot to me or my family, is, you know, specifically my daughters, and then go that way.
See, last thing, I voted SNP. Now, I'm not a nationalist by any stretch of the imagination, but I think nowadays, unless you are extreme right or left, it is almost impossible to find a party that suits you.
Of course.
I'm definitely more left-leaning. I wouldn't say I'm full-on left-wing, but I'm definitely more left-leaning. I'm not in any way right-wing, but I think that nowadays... you've almost got to weigh up what you want.
Yeah.
And like, so I don't agree with everything the SNP are going to do, but the majority of things I believe are ones that they support.
Yeah.
I would probably class myself more as a socialist, but at the same time, the Socialist Party in Scotland are never going to get anywhere.
No. Politics in any place is picking the best of a bad bunch.
Yeah. especially in America, when you literally have two parties to choose from. That's a ridiculous system. And then there's obviously, like, say, some black people didn't think Barack did enough, but at the same time, America's a big fucking country.
It is.
And like you say, definitely there's got to be, and the horrible thing is the statistics in America that black people are probably in a worse state of poverty for the most part than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not, I don't even know the stats. I could just be making that up. That could be total profax.
Yeah. This is only for the gender pay cap. Women, when they talk about 77 cents in America, they're talking about white women. Black women are lower than that, yes. And then Hispanic women are below that.
Yeah.
But it depends place to place who's going to be the most poverty stricken, but you can pretty much guarantee it ain't going to be white men.
Yeah. It'll be a people of colour.
Yeah.
just to something we got off, I know you mentioned this earlier, you wanted to talk about is a Black History Month in America.
Oh yeah.
So you did sort of say this in the me and Mike have jumped the technological gap, and we are sharing our notes.
I noticed that it's also now, this may be just a British thing, but it's LGBTQ. Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm. Plus.
Plus
Jesus
month.
Christ.
So, again, it's something that is all American, where it's such a racial divide.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it is, because we didn't have, we never had a specific...
I was going to ask, yeah, did you not get taught anything about black... Well, you wouldn't get taught American black history, but...
We did cover it very, very briefly, because obviously we talk about... Because the thing is Britain was involved in, like, slave trade and everything like it, so we'd have that aspect of it, and we did learn about civil rights movements at school, but it mainly was... We learned about Culloden. We learned about, like, the Tudors.
Yeah.
The World War II.
As you got later into high school, you got the important movements, you got, like, MLK and stuff like that. But I think as well, you made this point to me earlier, that UK is very, very, very keen on covering up its dodgy dealings in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so we don't really talk about the bad shit we've done.
I think...
Do you feel that's necessary, though? Like, to cover that? You don't need to cover it up.
I made this point to Megan earlier. I was just like, so America had a horrible-sized slave trade not even that long ago. In the grand scheme of things, a couple of hundred years. It's shocking. But I think that it's covered in America. People learn about that. And the thing is, as well, it reminds me, I said this to you earlier, like, because I always wondered for a few years that in Germany... Are the kids taught about Nazis?
Mm-hmm.
Every World year, War II. Very extensive.
Exactly. I mean, they cover it insane amounts to make sure that people understand the problems.
What went wrong?
So, I would prefer I've learned probably more in the year that I've gone out with Megan, because she knows all this shit. So I sort of usually sit there with my head in my hands, going, "We did what?"
We're not good.
You know what I mean?
British people.
Yeah, but I feel America does the same thing. Like, we beat ourselves up about things that happened a while ago, and to a certain extent, you should. Everyone has beat each other, ourselves up for slavery or whatever has happened here. And it's like, now let's try and make things better now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's not look back in 20 years and say, "Shit, man, we didn't pay women the same amount as men. Why didn't we do that?"
Is this maybe a controversial point? But do you think? Because I know you're quite a well-rounded guy in the way you feel about sort of racism and stuff in the world now, and you're not to be super sensitive, but there are people of colour who maybe jump at something that is slightly racist or could be construed that way, whereas you, for like, I know you quite well now, like, you don't jump on something like the whole H&M thing.
Yeah.
You thought that was stupid. It wasn't necessarily.
I did, yeah. Like, because I think that everyone, especially in that situation, everyone's main goal is to make money.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to put some kid out there and go, like, "Hey, look at this. Let's put it on the black kid." You know, I don't think that they're doing that.
So
don't get me wrong. I still think that racism exists throughout the world.
Yeah, definitely.
But I just don't think it's like it was, like, in the 60s, like, or in the 50s, like, when my dad was growing up. You know what I mean? Like, I remember my dad telling a story about, like, he went to go play basketball, probably in the same park that I did, and, like, they beat, like, a bunch of white kids because black people are superior. No, I'm joking. just when it comes to sports.
You can see that. You can see
that. No, I'm joking. Somewhat. And then they chased him out of there, calling him all types of stuff. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's crazy. That's racism. And hopefully you wouldn't see that, especially in a place like New York. Hopefully you wouldn't see that. But it's like, let's kind of put some of that stuff to bed. Black, white, whoever. Don't beat ourselves up for what's happened, and let's try and be better going forward.
Is it the same as anything that you can choose your reaction to what happens to you. Now, not even so much racism, but say like I was bullied when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But like a lot of those guys then I forgave and I'm now quite pally with. I haven't seen them in a lot of years, but like as you grow up, you learn to let go of the things that affected you in your youth, because if you hold on to it, then that just becomes poisonous.
Because you can break them like a toothpick, is that?
Yeah, exactly. Snap them. No, don't listen. Sorry, guys. Do you know what I mean? Do you think that's the type of thing that maybe needs to be pushed a little bit in America? Is that we all know that there are still racists out there.
Yes.
We know there are bad people out there who are probably victims of their own circumstance, because you're not born a racist. You're not born hating one people or another. That.
Yeah.
It's important, I think. But I think I seen one of your notes earlier. Like, oh no, it wasn't this. It was a post on Facebook. It was a Black History is American History, and I remember
it is
an interview
yeah.
with Morgan Freeman when he got asked about Black History Month, and he goes, "Ah, well, when's White History Month?"
Exactly.
I don't think they should have. I feel like it's not overkill, but is it? Look, we'll give you an entire month.
Yeah.
To talk about what happened. Was it no?
The shortest month.
Yeah.
I think that it needs to exist until it is integrated into normal history. Like, we don't need to have a whole month if it's scattered throughout the year. Just put it in the timeline. It happened at the same time.
It's one of the same things we've talked about, like the sexism and the pressure, like people being pressured at sex and stuff. It needs to be educated just throughout. It just needs to become common knowledge. It needs to be taught to these people, whether they be white, black, Chinese, Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
I just think you're right. I think it's probably more prevalent just now, or it's maybe more talked about, but it's definitely not as bad as, like you say, the 60s when black people couldn't sit on like a bus or couldn't go into the same cinema.
But it's worryingly insidious now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting to a point where it's a little weird. It's getting funny now.
Yeah.
I think there has to be things like this until people of colour are given the same job opportunities, until, you know, because of your name, you're not automatically struck off or not given an interview or anything like that.
Yeah. Two things, right? So, in the NFL, I don't know if you know this, they have a thing called the Rooney Rule. So whenever there is a head coach vacancy, they have to bring a person of color in for an interview, no matter what. They have to have at least one. So one team didn't do that this year, the Raiders. They just said, fuck it, we want this guy and bring him in. You just pay a fine and it's over with if you don't do that. But most teams don't do that. Do you feel that that's fair, though? Do you feel that it's basically like affirmative action?
Yeah.
But do you feel like that is fair?
See, I think that's another, like, a great area. Like,
I mean, because on one hand, it does put a minority candidate, it's not necessarily a black person, it's any minority candidate in front of an owner of a team,
mm-hmm.
and they could knock it out of the park where they normally wouldn't get that interview. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I like it from that point of view, but from another point of view, it's just kind of like, well, there could be somebody else that could be more qualified that could have got that interview that's not going to get that interview now.
So the NHS, the way that they hire in Scotland or the UK, is that you basically get the person's job history, you get their information, like their grades and everything like it, but you have no gender, no name, no nothing. You don't really know anything about this person other than their actual writing on a paper until you actually meet the person,
mm-hmm.
which is probably the best way to do it, because it's literally done off qualifications, it's done off job history and experience. But affirmative action is needed, because right now, they've literally done studies on this. If you have a stereotypical female name, stereotypical white guy's name, stereotypical person of colour's name, the white guy's going to get the interview, the women and the person of colour aren't. And on top of that, if they do then get the job, unless it's a place that has set wages, they're going to be offered less money than what the white guy would have been offered. Because there have been studies done in this to prove how insidious and how kind of like
inherent is.
So that's why affirmative action is needed. It's not a fair thing to need.
That's maybe the scary thing is as well. Like in the 50s and 60s, it was just wide open. Like it was just literally, that was common law, is that if you were white, you didn't like black people. Whereas nowadays, it is maybe, it's not as widely acknowledged, but it is.
Do you feel like it's just kind of implied in the way?
Yeah. Now you just don't put your face on your Twitter profile and don't put your name in your Twitter profile, and that's where you put it out. That's where you put out all your racism.
You keep your
sexism.
Profile as an egg, and you just start dropping N-bombs and calling people snowflakes and talking about white racism. And
I think you'll find it's called white genocide, darling.
I think, to be honest, I think I'm a bit racist because I hate most white people.
I like Chris Rock when he was like, if y'all are losing, who's winning? Because it's certainly not the minorities around here.
I think it's like, it seems ridiculous to say that that's what you have to interview, but at the same time, That's what you have to do until, because otherwise people are not going to get any given the offer. Oh my God, I just saw what's coming next. And I'm so, so excited.
I know we're kind of pushing time here. We're running long.
So we'll drop in a final topic just to brighten things up a little bit.
Yeah, because we did get deep there.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it got harsh.
You're welcome.
Just gonna, Andy's stuck in strong there. How you doing, Andy?
Nice. So, Trudeau. What's his first name again?
Justin.
Justin Trudeau. Of course. I don't want anyone leaving my country.
Can I just have silence? I'm going to say it again. I just want you to hear the noise that comes out of my girlfriend. Justin Trudeau. Oh,
he's so lovely.
He's dreamy, apparently.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is an arse to die for. It's ridiculous.
Objection.
God. Man can squat. You talked about earlier. I like an ass, right?
Just saying, I squat, but whatever.
So, anyway, we'll stop talking about this man's butt.
Google the picture, everyone. Just do yourself a favor and Google it.
We'll put it on the page. We will for our female listeners.
I feel like that's not going to go well.
We will upload a picture.
We'll put the video so hopefully the dude get his ass in there and all of our female listeners can check it out. And our male listeners, whoever.
Lay it on us, Mike.
So Trudeau was at a town hall. And I'll just read it. So someone asked him a question. So her question was, so that's why we came here today to ask you to look into the policies that religious charitable organizations have in our legislation, blah, 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 blah. And she says that's going to change the future of mankind. And then Trudeau immediately corrected her and said, we like to say people kind, not necessarily mankind. It's gone too far. It's going too far.
The two men are annoyed about this. It's just why. You know what annoys me most?
Is the correction. That's what bothers me most. You don't have to correct everybody about every little thing. It's fine. It was a woman that said mankind.
So my nose blocked up.
And plus, and I just think that's a way of just kind of being shitty because she asked a question that maybe you didn't want to answer. You know what I mean? Or you were
deflection. It's politician.
Yeah, it's just like, Megan's about to
go for you for slagging off Trudeau.
I think it's a relatively common thing in a lot of politicians now is to
act
like they're progressive and well-versed by saying stuff like that.
Yeah.
When really it's just a platitude. It's just a pleasantry. It's just that. I think more than anything, it's just not massively newsworthy.
That too.
It must have been a slow news day. Everyone's over the Super Bowl.
Has Trump said anything?
Trump's not saying shit because the Eagles have rejected his invitation to the White House.
I just think it's such a common thing in politics these days to say stuff like this, to act like you are being super like.
See, to be honest with you as well, I can understand why a politician would do it because
he would get shit.
If you're a politician, literally anything you say, you go through with a fine tooth comb. Plus, if you look at his opposite number just over the border there,
yeah,
you know what I mean? That's going to shine bright with all the people who are into that type of stuff. Against,
to be honest with you, I reckon he might have just been doing it for that exact reason.
Yeah, he's probably just trolling Trump.
Yeah, I think it is genuinely it's a disingenuous comment by a politician because that's what some politicians perceive people want, and it's not like
nice boot or not, he's taking the piss.
I don't overly care about him having said it, but also not off. I don't really care about someone saying mankind.
It does say the crowd clapped after Trudeau's comments, so
I'm on it now. All of a sudden, everyone was behind Trudeau, and I'm fine with it. I would also.
That's why they were clapping, because he leaned over, and everyone was like, "Wow, wow, sensational derriere!
Look at the buns on that guy,
the croissants."
And on that note, that will be the title of this episode. Yeah. Look at the buns on that guy and the croissants in brackets.
Well, thank you again for joining us. Thank you to Megan for our wonderful points. Thank you
to
Mike.
I depressed the crap out of you guys. You're welcome.
Is that all I brought to this?
Yeah.
Thank you to Andy for starting us out. And soon we're going to have some audible quality. And our very own young Jamie there pulling shit up.
Yeah.
Nice one. Right. Thank you, guys. Like, share. I am on Twitter at MonkeySwordPod.
On @_M. I should know this. I'm on Twitter all day long. I don't know why I don't know this. @_M.
We are on Facebook at MonkeySwordFight. Search, like, share, feedback.
Tell a friend.
Give us abuse. Yeah, tell a friend.
Yeah, tell a friend. Say,
feel free to fight my unpopular opinion.
Yeah. Come fight me. In real life.
And thanks to Megan for coming on and classing this joint up a little bit.
Yeah, actual knowledge.
And bringing some brains.
She is the first lady of Monkey Sword Fight, so whenever we need some female intel when we've manned it up and fucked it completely, we'll bring her on to correct her.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Nice. Cool.
Actually, I'm just getting home anyway. Right. Right, take care, guys. Thank you again. Monkey sword fight, fight, fight. Monkey sword fight, fight, fight. Monkey sword. Monkey sword.